Bibles, open up to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, excuse me, chapter 26. Verse 20. We'll actually read down through verse 22. The Bible says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out." So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we're so thankful and appreciative for all you've done for us. God, we know that there is much going on in this world, and Lord, with many people today who are suffering, who are sick, those who are dealing with family issues, those who have lost loved ones. God, I pray that you bless them. I pray, Lord, that you give them what they stand in need of. And God, I ask that you would just draw them close beside of you to be comforted in this time. Now, God, I pray that you would help me to be able to teach this morning. Help me, Lord, to do so in a way that is pleasing to you. I pray that we would apply these truths to our hearts and lives. Lord, I know that many times we get so caught up in this world, caught up in different things we don't even think. God, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful of others, help us to have a good spirit, and help us, Lord, to always love you and put you first in all we do. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Bear with me. I am doing a little better with my coughing, but not a whole lot better. So if I do a little coughing fit, bear with me while I try to get through it. But we notice here in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 26, and I'll be honest with you, Proverbs is hard to preach through. I know of preachers that have done it, and my hat's off to them. My mind don't work that way. I can't. It's like little sayings and little proverbs is what it is. And listen, they're inspired of God and they're good. But it's not like the flow of an epistle or something like that, or of a letter, or one of the Gospels, or one of the prophets of the Old Testament. But I do think that there's some wonderful things we can find in the book of Proverbs. We can find, for instance, dealing with sluggards, the slothful man. We can find dealing with those who are fools. We can find also things dealing with the things in relation to life, how to live. also wisdom. There's so much in here that we can dig through. And yes, folks, there are things that are good for us to read and to remember, because what it can do, it can help keep us in line as individuals. Now, God willing, I don't know how long we'll do this, and I don't know how often we'll do this, but from time to time, we will come into Proverbs, and we'll look at different things, dealing with different issues. Seriously doubt that we'll preach verse by verse through it. Like I said, I just don't think I'm equipped to do that. But God willing, today, we're going to look here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 26. Now, verses 17 through 28 really is dealing with all those verses, what we're going to be dealing with in verses 20, 21, and 22. And that's dealing with gossip. It's dealing with stirring strife and so on. And it's dealing with tale-bearing. Now, you say, well, Brother Troy, is that going on? To my knowledge, it is not. But I know how we are as individuals. We're all people that are prone to this. If you do not believe me, go to a Bible conference sometime and sit at the preacher's table. Preachers are just as guilty of this, but the thing is, preachers will tell you, well, we're just praying for the other person. We're just letting be known we need to pray for them. Right. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It's gossip. Brother Ernie will back me up on that. Or it could be, as I've heard Brother Tommy say, now listen, I'm only going to say this once because if you repeat it, it's gossip. So get it right the first time. So I'm just picking at you there. But the fact is, folks, that we in this fallen nature, we have this problem. Every one of us, from the pulpit down to the pew. Some of us, and I'm talking about some of us, I'm including me in that, maybe have a bigger struggle with it than others. But it's something that God's people struggle with from time to time, as well as everyone. But I don't want you to notice here, starting in verse 20. Now, in your own time, I would encourage you to read verses 17 through 28 on your own. But notice, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, there's a story one time told that many years ago, the Moody Church News, now most of y'all are familiar with the Moody Church, that's what D.L. Moody founded, or had honored, founded in his name in Chicago, Illinois, years ago, and it carried a very funny story about a woman in a small town who was known for being a gossip. One day, on vacation, she visited the offices of the Chicago Daily News. She was wearing a white dress and inadvertently leaned against a wall where a freshly printed copy of the front page was hanging. Now, you got to understand, at that time, they would hang them up and stuff, and they would be wet. And so she leaned up against it. It was a hot, humid day, and some of the print came off on the back of her white dress. Later, as she walked down the street to meet her husband, she noticed that people walking behind her were snickering. When she reached the place where her husband was waiting, she asked him if there was anything on her back that shouldn't be there. As she turned around, he read the large black reverse letters, and it said this, SWENYLAID. Of course, that was News Daily backwards. Realizing the appropriateness of the words, he said, "No, dear, nothing's on your back that doesn't belong there." So even the husband knew that she was quite the little gossip. There's another story told about four preachers that met together for a friendly gathering. During the conversation, one preacher said, "Our people come to us and pour out their different issues. They confess certain sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul." In due time, all agreed. One confessed he liked to go to the movies and would sneak off when away from his church. The second confessed to liking to smoke cigars, and the third one confessed to liking to playing cards. When it came to the fourth one, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, saying, "Come now, we confess ours. What is your secret or vice?" I'm sorry. Finally, he answered, "It is gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here." Ain't that the way we are? I'm sorry, I'm not good with telling jokes for this reason. But you know something, folks? I think that illustrates how it is with God's people sometimes. You know, we have our struggles, and one struggle in particular can be this right here. So what do we do? How do we handle it? Well, the first thing we got to do, it's kind of like this. If you know that you have a weakness, you know, this is just very practical. Stay away from it. I've confessed to you all, I have a I have a strong weakness for a buffet bar. So I try to stay away from the buffet bar because I know what I'm going to do when I go to a buffet. I'm going to tear that sucker up. And I'm going to wear it out and I'm going to get my money's worth. So what do I try to do? I try to stay away from the buffet bar. I don't always do so, but I try to stay away from it very often. So what do we do if we know we struggle with this sin? Well, it's the same thing as if you had the sin of gluttony. If you have the sin of being a drunk, stay away from the alcohol. Well, if you have this struggle with this, then the best thing to do is just don't feed it. Stay away from it. Don't get involved in it. Whenever someone comes and tries to give you little tidbits or tries to feed that, get up, excuse yourself, and walk away. But here we find in verse 20. Verse 20 says, where no wood is. Now, what have you got to have a fire? I mean, this is just very practical today, folks. What you got to have a fire is you got to have wood. Now, you got to have wood to keep it going. Now, you can start a fire with a piece of paper, but eventually that's going to burn out, right? Well, to have a good, strong fire, you've got to have wood. You've got to have kindling. Now, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Fire goes out if there is no wood. Wow. This is very in-depth, right? So, where there is no talebearer. Now we get to this. Where there is no talebearer. Now, what does it mean to have a talebearer? Someone that is whispering. Someone that is murmuring. And it even goes beyond that. Someone who is a slanderer. A backbiter. Where there is no talebearer, where there is no backbiter, where there is no slander, the strife. Now understand what strife is. Strife is a brawl, it is discord, and it is contention. If you don't have the wood heaped on the fire, if you don't have the talebearer stirring it up, then guess what? There will not be any contention. It does what? It ceases. It stops. Notice verse 21. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now understand, when it's talking about coals, it's talking about those fiery embers. You know, sometimes the fire won't be going as far and the flames have died down. It's down to a little nothing, so what do? Well, what you do is you get that little poker or whatever, you get something, and you get that, you stir it around a little bit, you build the fire up, right? Then you put a little more coal on it, put a little more fire, or put a little more wood, and then it builds back up. Well, notice, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, contentious, again, it's talking about that which is one who stirs up strife, one who is a brawler, one that is a backbiter, one that keeps it going. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. What this contentious man does is he keeps things going. He just digs a little bit more. He pokes a little bit more. You ever been around someone like that? Man, I tell you what, they know that there's something there. They know where. And it can be more than just gossip and talebearing. Sometimes they do this to gig people and just get them going a little bit. There was a while back I was talking to some pastor friends of mine, and understand, you can do things in a good nature and good humor with a friend. That's one thing. I don't think that's being strife or contentious. You can do that to a friend, get them going a little bit, and then have a little fun with them. But what's talking about here, folks, is being a troublemaker. That's what it's dealing with here. A while back, there was a pastor friend of mine told me about something going on in his church. And he said every time he tried to do something, someone would always challenge him on it. It wouldn't be anything big, just be something little, some little dumb thing. And he said, what are they doing? I said, maybe they're just trying to cause trouble. Maybe they don't like what you're doing. Maybe they think that you're out of line. I don't know. But the question is, how do you deal with it? Well, I want you to give you something here. And we'll turn back here in a little bit. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Now this is how to deal with offenses in general in the church. But folks, this could be applied to anything. This could be applied to someone in the sin of drunkenness, tail-bearing, whatever. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Said, if he listens to you, it's a good thing. You've got things right. Things are improved. You're back in fellowship with your brother. Doesn't mean that he's been lost and then he gets saved again. What it means is that fellowship is restored. But if he will not hear thee, in other words, you go to him, you talk to him, you try to get things right, or try to get this straightened up, they won't listen, then what do? Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if there's an issue, you take someone with you to go to them, right? And you talk to them. Now, it doesn't mean that you go and get a couple of people and then you start telling everyone else in the church. But you go get a couple and you take them with you. Now, if they don't listen, at that point, and if he shall neglect to hear them, verse 17, tell it unto the church. That's whenever you bring it before the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, if he won't listen to the church and will not work to try to restore or try to get this taken care of, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, that's when church discipline is enacted. So there are steps. There are ways to do this. Now understand, this is in the case of church discipline is always in mind to win someone back or to restore them to fellowship. Never just to kick them out and to say, oh my goodness, I'm so glad we're with them. No, that shouldn't be our desire. We should have a heart of love and concern. Now go back to Proverbs in chapter 26. Verse 21. Now as we've seen, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. So what do you do with the one that is a contentious man? You go to him, you try to make it right. If they won't listen to you, then you get a couple more of them. If they won't listen, then you bring them before the church. Now understand something, folks. There's some common sense that kicks in here too. Okay? Let's face it, if every time we got upset with someone or we got a burr in our saddle and we started trying to do some of this stuff, for every little thing, it'd be constant. I think one thing that I heard a preacher say one time, one of my pastors, and I've never forgotten it. He said, folks, sometimes it does good to grow up. Sometimes that's the issue. People need to get over themselves and need to try to do that which is pleasing to the Lord rather than themselves. Now notice verse 22. The words of a talebearer are his wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Excuse me. Verse 22, the words. Now, sometimes it's good for us to look at and the New Testament, see what the Greek says behind the words, and also in the Old Testament, the Hebrew. Now, literally, this is talking about that which is speech. That which is said, that which is spoken. Then it says of a tale bearer. Again, we talked about that a while ago. One who is a slanderer. One that is a backbiter. Are as wounds. The word wound here. According to Strong's definition, means to burn in. It's like a burn. You ever been burned? I remember whenever I was second, third grade, something like that, I loved coffee. And we had this coffee, and of course, Mom and Dad would always cool it off. Well, this one morning, I didn't want to wait for it to get cooled off. And I went in there and I fixed it myself and I was drinking it and it poured down my, didn't have a shirt on because you'd end up, of course, messing up and getting it dirty and stuff. We couldn't have that. So instead, it fell down my shirt, spilled down my chest. It scabbed up pretty good burn. And I remember hurting. And I remember it seemed like Mom, it was like the cure-all, I guess, for everything. It may not have been a curicone, but it seemed like it was. I hated that stuff. She had doctored it up with something. And then after a while, it would kind of get a little better, get a little better, get a little better. And then start tearing the scab. That's what a kid would do, pick at it. Then it'd open it up again. Then what you do? Start scabbing up, picking at it again. Well, folks, as I read this, it's kind of what I think of a talebearer. They keep picking at the scab. Starts healing, they pick at it again. Starts healing, they pick at it again. Over and over and over. Never letting it heal. And that's what happens. The talebearer does these kind of things. He picks, he picks, he picks. And then notice, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. What it does, it just goes down, down, down. Now, to be fair too, whenever I give this definition of wound, Thayer's dictionary says that it's as a morsel. Something that, and I don't know, that kind of doesn't fit with what I think of a wound. But anyway, they do give that, excuse me, as a definition. It says, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. What it does, folks, is it goes down there and it settles. And it causes problems. Folks, as God's people, what should we be known for? Matter of fact, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. What's a peacemaker? A peacemaker is someone that comes alongside and they're a help. They're an encouragement. When they see someone struggling, they don't look at them and say, oh, I see a way that I can cause a little issue here. No, what they are is they're someone that comes alongside and says, hey, what can I do for you? instead of feeding the issues, instead of keeping things going, that kind of helps settle them down. Just don't worry about it. You ever get mad at someone and you think you have reason to get mad at them, and then you come to find out that it was nothing more than a silly misunderstanding? I had that happen, and it was embarrassing. For 2 years, I let it fester. Finally, one day, I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I called this fella. I said, "We need to talk." I've got aught with you. And I said, "And the Bible says that if I have aught, I need to call you, and I need to talk to you." He said, "Well, what's going on?" And I told him. He said, "Brother Troy, I didn't mean that." He said, "My lands." He said, "I wish you'd call me out on that on the beginning." He said, "Because that is not what I meant." He said, "It might have been what I said," he said, "but it just came out wrong." He said, "Brother, I'm sorry." Now, you know what happened for those 2 years? I lost fellowship with a good man. I had envy, not envy, bitterness in my heart. Because I just let it fester and fester. If I had just went to that man to begin with and said, "Now listen, we need to get this cleared up," it would have been so much better. Listen, as God's people, there's two things we can do. We can either be peacemakers or we can be strife bearers. And you know, I'm talking about me whenever I'm teaching this. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We're blessed gives the idea of happy. I want to be happy. I want to be so happy. I want my life to be filled with lollipops and sunshine. I don't want there to be no problems. I want to be able to get along with everyone. I want to be able to have fun with everyone. But folks, the talebearer, they're full of contention and strife. Someone that's full of contention gives the idea to me of someone that's just, they want to start a fight. They're not happy unless there's trouble. Let's not be troublesome people. Let's have a good spirit. Let's make sure that we as God's people are guilty of being peacemakers rather than strife bearers. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, and thank you for your word. I pray that you would apply these truths to our hearts and lives. Help us to love you more. Help us to put you first. And help us, Lord, again, to be peacemakers rather than strife bearers. For the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.